Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Avanti West Coast service to Manchester Piccadilly. Calling at Stockport.
Manchester Piccadilly next and final station call.
Try that pose you did for that massive billboard across the bridge in Manchester. How about that pose?
Perfect. We're in Manchester. We're in the back of Rachel's van.
It sound creepy.
As not dodgy as that sounds. Rachel, thank you for allowing us to sit in the back of your van.
It's a swish.
The Girls on the Ball 90-min fan van that lots of people may have heard about Rachel tweeting about and talking about. And we've got to see it for ourselves. And it's pretty amazing. I'm kind of obsessed with this van. I want to move here.
I'm cozy. I feel like I might just settle in.
The rent's cheap. The vibes are great. What more could you want?
I'm wondering if Volkswagen will just give it to us and we can just, you know, do everything from the van as Girls on the Ball forever.
I think you should just go under the radar after the tournament's over, just hang on to the keys and hope that they never ask for it
back.
Have
you seen it? You can't miss us. I don't know how I go under the radar in this van.
It's not subtle. It's like bright orange as well.
Yeah, you've got to go
with like logo splattered all over it. But we are finally in Manchester. We hyped up everything. We were so excited. It was like the day before Christmas. Now we're here. We're parked on the side of the road in Piccadilly. There's a Royal Mail van in front of me. I mean, days don't get better than this.
It's lush. Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's tropical here. But the vibes are good, actually, because I was here last week. I think I mentioned already on the pod that I was a little bit disappointed about the lack of awareness. But as soon as I arrived here, lots of fans. My hotel is packed with Austria fans. The fan park in Piccadilly Gardens already looks quite vibey. There's a lot more awareness and atmosphere today than there has been, I think, over the past couple of weeks, like definitely in England.
Yeah, and we were at Old Trafford yesterday for both press conferences, and it is looking great. The branding is brilliant. They've got a fan zone at Old Trafford as well as in Piccadilly Gardens, which we were at today, starting to fill up. You know, you got to bear in mind that it's an 8 p.m. kickoff, so I'm not expecting it to be packed out straight away. But there was a really good crowd of Austrian fans there singing.
They're lively as
well.
Oh,
they're great. They were singing "It's Coming Home" louder than the English fans were. It was
yeah.
Really
we need to step up because the European fans.
We did say this. Step up.
Step up. Yeah. Come on.
Why are you saying it to me?
You're leading the charge, mate.
It's funny though, like the European fans just seem way more vibey in women's football. Obviously, you've got Dutch fans famous for their marches, famous for their great pop music and taking over cities. The Austrian fans, who I didn't really know were that vibey, seem brilliant, really got great face paint, great like crazy wigs and stuff like that. England fans, I need to see more from you. We're too vanilla out here.
I think it's also different when you're away and your tournament is away and you're on
True.
Holiday and there's like a different
Lads on
vibe.
Tour.
Yeah, there's a different vibe about it. I mean, I've seen plenty of great England fans at away tournaments, but I'm sure they'll turn up. You know, I've been seeing them spotted around with their shirts and we were in Box to Box today and there was a little kid singing Jill Scott's on Fire and over Aww. And over, and it was pretty great.
I mean, when you look at like the whole course of the day, though, I think we're just a little bit more humble. And I think that's a nice thing because I feel like we're going to come away from the game with a massive bloody win. And all the Austria fans who were giving it hype before the game are going to be walking away really deflated, crying. And wow. The England fans are going to be bringing it
we're
hard.
We're wow. really so humble, there, say wow. the fans who sing It's Coming Home.
Yeah,
honestly,
yeah.
I just don't understand.
It doesn't make sense, but it does make sense.
Chloe's going to be out at halftime like Delia Smith, just being like, let's be having it.
I'm going to flash. Where I'm telling you now. Yeah. I'm running onto the pitch and I'm doing it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're in Manchester, if you're not at Old Trafford and you don't see Chloe Flash, you will see her everywhere else around Manchester because she's on these massive billboards for LinkedIn. I was driving on a motorway and there was Chloe like across a bridge.
Well, I feel like it's a bit of a hazard. Like, we're going to find like multiple.
Rachel
multiple
crashed the car earlier.
Oh, bloody hell, what's Chloe doing up there?
It's obviously very different having a home tournament. Rachel, you mentioned fans travelling and it's always a different atmosphere, but you guys have. Goals on the Ball have travelled around the world watching England. Have you ever done a home tournament before? I think you started after because
yeah.
You're so young, you're not old enough to have
Thank
done
you.
2005.
Thank you.
So it's kind of different because I've never really, you know, I've never experienced a home tournament as it were, apart from watching England men in the Euros at Wembley last summer, which doesn't really count. It's slightly different. So there is something special. And yeah, how does that compare to your previous experiences?
I'd say the closest we've come to it is London 2012. The Olympics, which we saw Team GB, that's what kicked off Girls on the Ball for us. Funnily enough, our first tournament was in a van, a camper van.
Back to where it all started.
I know, but we drove to Sweden, the camper van with the rabbit.
Oh, I had tickets for that, but that tournament, but I couldn't get there, so I ended
good.
Up getting...
It was not
it,
really...
Oh, bad vibes.
I'm pretty sure England came last. But that was kind of where it started for us, and now, 10 years later, we're in a van, thankfully not sleeping in it, but in a van covering a home tournament, so it's kind of come
just
full
like
circle.
Old times.
I know.
Oh, that's so nostalgic. That's so cute.
Okay, any good memories? Bad memories? Memories?
Just generally, just yeah, any memories
watching
I'd
England
like to
share. Tourneys or watching international football?
I've taken it right back. I mean, like back in the day, one of the first people that I kind of saw in and around the women's game was Rachel Yankee, and sort of watching her play every time that you kind of could if she was on a local stadium or whatever was amazing. And now seeing the likes of, you know, Lauren Hemp and Ella Toon kind of taking the stage is absolutely incredible. And I know we keep talking about this cheesy phrase like the next generation, inspire the next gen and stuff, but I just think there's this palpable sense at the moment in Manchester and around the country of like how significant this tournament is and how much has gone into it, and everyone behind the scenes, broadcasters, journalists, pundits, podcasts, kit people, grounds people, the whole shebang, getting to this stage. It just feels like a real like momentous time to reflect back on how much we've achieved and where the fuck we've got to.
Yeah, and I mean I only have been away to watch England women. The first time I went was in 2019 for the France Women's World Cup, and Nice for that first game against Scotland. I was kind of disappointed in the actual attendance of the match, but the atmosphere in the city was wicked. Like, Scottish fans are always really good value, like such a funny group of people, Scott, so friendly, and they kind of took over the city classically in their kilts and were all over like the fountains and the square and everything. But there was just a really nice vibe that night in the town centre in Nice, with everyone just kind of coming together for local French fans, some fans from other countries as well, Scott English, having some drinks, chatting, having loads of fun. And it was just in that moment, and the last tournament I'd been to up until then was 2016 Euros in France, which England got knocked out by Iceland, and I watched that in the Paris fan park, and there was a huge brawl afterwards. And that moment,
did
like
you start that?
No, yeah, it was nothing to me. But it was so depressing traveling, watching England in those Euros, because I just met so many of the worst people in England in that like 3 week period. And what was great about my experience in France, it was the same country, going back to the same country for a major tournament, but my experience watching England win was so different and so great to just have so many different people from different backgrounds, from different cultures coming together and enjoying watching football and kind of and making friends and meeting people and bonding through the game, because that's what it should be about. And that's what I'm hoping is going to happen over the next month, because for me, that would be, you know, the perfect thing.
Amen, sister.
We are literally, because I just looked at my phone and it's 4 o'clock, we are 4 hours away from kickoff. How are people feeling? Still similar vibes of should be an England comfortable win? We talked about a lot in the preview, but just anyone getting like slight nerves, excitement for the start of a tournament?
Not nerves as such, but I do think the team might take a little while to get going. It is, you're kicking off, not just kicking off a Euros, you're kicking off a home Euros. Not just kicking off a home Euros, kicking off a home Euros in Old Trafford. Like, there's quite a number of layers to the whole day. And I think Austria will know the fact that they're coming in as underdogs, and they probably want to go out there and be very tough to break down. We did speak to some Austrian fans earlier who said they'd be pretty happy with a 0-0 draw. So maybe the fans are feeling a little differently, but I think the Austrian team are going to want to go out there and show what they're made of. So they'll try and put up a fight, I reckon.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if we sort of saw a kind of part of the bus situation.
Yeah, I was feeling that as well, because I've been reading a lot of what the WSL players, especially Laura Veenbrotho, did an interview recently. I can't remember who it was with, but in the build-up. And they've kind of just said that's what they're going to do. They're like, we're really defensively organised, which we know. Got a good goalkeeper in Zinsberger. We're just going to be really hard to break down and frustrate England. And that's what probably worries me the most.
But I think that's a massive credit, actually, to where the England squad is now. I mean, you've got you know, competitors, opponents who are lining up now thinking that the best they can do out of the situation is getting a draw and parking the bus to make sure that we don't achieve anything. So, you know, before, I think, you know, a game like Austria, you would be thinking, OK, well, maybe Austria are going to go into this with a bit of confidence, thinking that we're going to get the win. But actually, you're not. Yeah.
But also, you know, got to factor in all the games England have played in the World Cup qualifiers. They've had to do that. They've had to break teams down. So that could actually be quite beneficial. I know we saw them putting away a lot of goals against these teams, but they did have to be, you know, they had to be clever with the way that they put their goals together. They had to break down teams. And it did often take a while to break down teams. So hopefully that will stand to them today.
Well, should we get going then? Should we head off?
Shall I? Yeah, let's
start. Charge up the van and
I would say brum, but it's a hybrid, so it doesn't actually make any noise. You didn't bring any biscuits, you bitch.
Oh, yeah,
what's
sorry.
The fan park saying? We might get
apparently it's quite a good vibe. Becky's there, a few of my friends are there.
Lots of Austrian
there's quite a few great, like, old classic lesbians.
Great vibe.
Oh, yeah, they're sick.
Board this, folks, move right down the aisles, please.
You can see the cricket ground on your left, yeah. Straight up the hill, to the top of the hill, straight over, down the hill, which is standing up this way. The Old Trafford's on your left hand side. It's about 10 or 15 minutes walk.
This is a service to Austria.
You sing all the way up the road now.
We're now stop near the Stratford.
Scarf for the match, guys. Any more than match day scarf?
£3 each or two for the 5 minute flags.
Your match day scarf for the game now. Cash or card.
Can hear me pitch side. The music is absolutely blaring. The stadium is slowly filling up. I'm not gonna lie, when we arrived at the ground 2.5 hours before kickoff, both Soph and I had a tear in our eye. The place was absolutely jam-packed already. There are thousands and thousands of people outside in the fan zone, enjoying the build-up, enjoying the atmosphere. It honestly gave me goosebumps. And now I'm pitch side. I mean, the pitch is like carpet, man. This stadium is incredible. I cannot wait for football to kick off.
Teams are out, and like we talked about, Leah Williamson is actually in defence partnering with Millie Bright, leaving Alex Greenwood on the bench. So that is an interesting selection. We also spoke about Fran Kirby on the preview pod, and she is in with Georgia Stanway, so I reckon she'll be there with Kira Walsh in midfield. So I'm keen to see how they all work together. Beth Mead is out on the wing, Lauren Hemp on the other wing, and Ellen White is in the centre, so I'm hoping for goals from her. Listen to that roar. We have just been treated to the most incredible light and fire show and fireworks. It was amazing. Here we go. Definitely started with a high press, trying to, you know, prevent England having too much time on the ball, which has been doing them well in the first kind of 5 minutes or so. Probably not what England were expecting, but they're turning into a second half team, England, and Austria probably know that, so they need to take chances in the first half. England have had a few of their own. We're up the other end right now. What a goal from Beth Mead, and England are off the mark in 17 minutes. They made us wait though for the celebration. First goal on technology, then VAR, but finally the crowd were allowed to celebrate and we are away with Beth Mead 1-0 England.
There will be a minimum of 1 minute of additional time. Thank you.
It's half time, very chaotic in the press room. We have no Wi-Fi, there's not enough water, and there's no food left. So if you want to have a little insight into the life of a journalist, there it is. The opening 45 minutes were incredible. The atmosphere, the noise. When Beth Mead scored her goal, I honestly thought the roof was going to come off. I was also a bit worried that the players weren't going to be able to see for the first 20 minutes when all those fireworks went off and there was just fog everywhere. But just an amazing, amazing atmosphere. And I'm just, yeah, was blown away by that. Just amazing, amazing. And more of the same in the second half, please.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Substitution for Austria, leaving the field number 3, Katarina Naschenbein. Being replaced by number 18, Julia Ingolsberger-Fuller. Substitutions for England, leaving the field number 14, Fran Kirby.
So we've got 3 substitutions for England. Fresh legs coming on: Chloe Kelly, Ella Toon, and Alessia Russo. I think they'll bring some energy to this team. One of the players going off is Fran Kirby, who obviously set up that that goal for Beth Mead. So shame to see her go, but she's had a good, definitely had a good game. It is all getting quite edgy for England here, who are dropping off Austria a fair bit now and leaving a lot of space. Crowd are getting a bit edgy too, but I think that's maybe beating onto the pitch. There's a lot of space out wide. Lucy Bronze could do with a bit of more help. In fact, here comes Barbara Dunst. Oh, that was pretty close. Mary Earps diving low to her right. Nervous times here for England.
Tonight's attendance here at Old Trafford is 68,871. That is a new UEFA Women's Euro Lions.
Time here, England 1, Austria 0. Just the Beth Mead goal between the two. I think England looked a little bit nervous. They weren't kind of pressing as high as they normally were. They weren't kind of playing that intense football we've gotten used to seeing them play. Not a huge surprise. Opening game of the Euros at home. You know, you're going to expect some nerves. The main thing is they got the 3 points. A win is a win, and we will go home happy.
Rachel, we're back in town now after the game. I mean, that was like a fever dream. What an occasion, what an atmosphere, what a night.
I'm still buzzing, I'm still on a high. I can't go to bed now. I need to sit up for a couple of hours and decompress. That was a very, very surreal experience. There were so many people, the atmosphere, the pre-show. God, I don't think I ever expected to see that at a women's game here.
Yeah, I didn't really know what to expect because I have been a bit disappointed in what it's been like in the host cities and the coverage in the media, and I didn't know what to expect, but tonight just blew me away, and the energy of the crowd, the atmosphere, the music, and it just had everything. It was even better than I hoped it would be, and that is why it felt so special, because there was so much expectation and I feel like it met that. Maybe not with the result, maybe not with the performance at times, but it just felt like the perfect way to start off this tournament.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be big, but it exceeded my expectations. I think seeing so many thousands of people at the stadium over 2.5 hours before kickoff, that's
people were what, so like just so hyped.
Insane. The fan park was unreal. The vibes, man. It was just, yeah, it was amazing.
We've obviously got a long couple of weeks ahead following this tournament, following England. I'm going to go and party now with some other people in the centre of Manchester. You're going to go try and catch some sleep.
I'm going to give it a bash. I got to match the other side of the country tomorrow. So.
And drive about 10 hours. Yeah. So good luck.
So a bit of sleep is necessary, I think.
Football Ramble Presents is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
I saw it's some fucking horseshit tonight.
Oh,
I thought,
no.
I've been rubbing it out.
I can see it on your fur.
Oh, yeah, you can fuck's sake.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.